Show live on 97.1 FM Talk. Good evening, everybody. And we are actually broadcasting from the Miracle Mile area, which is on Wilshire, right between Fairfax and La Brea. And it's currently 91 degrees outside. 91 degrees in the city, 83 in the valley. Go figure, huh? Jesus. It was 110 in Sherman Oaks today. I thought I left the heat when I went to the city, and now it's 91 here and 83 in the valley. So, I don't know. I mean, who knows?
Doesn't matter.
The temperatures are crazy. The stock market is crazy. I think the world might be coming to an end here. And to tell us if it is going to be coming to an end in the next couple of days is Bob McCormick. Bob McCormick joined KCAL and CBS in October of 2007. And here to welcome him, I believe our first show with Bob, or the first time we've talked to him on the air. Bob, how are you, sir?
I'm just fine. Long-time listener.
Hey, yep. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Wow. Yes. Yes. Look at you.
Yes.
Hey, well, welcome to CBS. You've been here for about a year or so.
Well, actually, I started at CBS in, I'm embarrassed to say, in 1986 in San Francisco, so I've been in the family for a while.
Oh, good. Excellent.
But, yeah, just a KCAL for the last year. Hey, but you know what? I know it's 91, I know it's hot, but I'd rather be here than up in Alaska. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know about that. But, hey, so, Bob, what is going on with the stock market now, or the economy, better? It's a better question. Is it all going to implode in the next couple of days? What should we do with our money? Everyone's panicked.
Well, let's put it like this. It's been in the process of doing this for the last year. You know, our home prices, as many of us know in Southern California. Hey, you remember a year or two ago, every time you go to a dinner party or and get together with people, the main topic of conversation was how much money you made on paper anyway on your house
right.
in the last month or two. We knew the prices were going crazy, and it made us all feel like we were really wealthy. I mean,
yeah.
Let's face it, making as much money in our house as we were in our jobs, some of us. But,
yeah, no kidding.
But, you know, this thing had to come to an end. There were people who saw it coming and sounded the alarm. But it's really a problem that's unique to us, unique to Florida, unique to Nevada or Arizona. The rest of the country says, why should we bail these guys out?
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
I'm with them. Why should we bail these guys out? I mean, the stock market went down almost 800 points yesterday, but then back up almost, what, 500 points today?
Yeah, but you know, Tim, the thing is that just those daily gyrations have been happening, and the thing is, you got to look at what this market has done, and there were people who have said, look, this market has not beaten the Treasury bill. You can have a good old-fashioned Treasury bill, plain vanilla investment that you know the principal is there. Hey, look, whatever you want to say about the United States, at this point, nobody's lost any money in an FDIC-insured account or a Treasury bill or a savings bond.
Well,
it's always,
cool.
the you get your money back, you know?
Right. And I also heard that they're going to raise the limit on the FDIC-insured accounts to, from $100,000 to $250,000.
Yeah, that should come tomorrow night in that vote. It's an amendment on that Senate bill they're going to vote on tomorrow night. Senate's coming back in, and they're going to put the pressure on the House. So this is going to get done here probably in the next 48 hours, Tim.
Right. But why would that move push the Republicans and Democrats that didn't vote for it over the top?
Well, I tell you, these guys took a vacation in August for 3 to 4 weeks.
Right.
So they knew what was happening, and they still took their recess. They are motivated by things that you and I can only imagine what would motivate them, but let's put it like this. There's so many people swarming around that Capitol building, greasing palms, or willing to do that,
right.
and doing what they can do, legal or under the table, in order to get their way and to get heard. And that's what's been happening for years with the bank lobby and with other lobbies. Environmentalists have lobbies. Everybody's got their lobby group, and they're always getting their argument put across. I mean,
right.
they may not get what they want, but they get a chance to do it. You and I don't get a chance to do it. We can talk about it on the radio and complain about it, but it's not something that we have access to unless we happen to get one of these bozos on the air and put them our feet to the fire. But
right.
essentially, you get the political answer. That's what we got. You know, we got the politics. Every time they come out of that room, they said they were in there as as Americans and trying to put the country first, and they come out of that room and say, well, yeah, okay, but we'll clean up the mess for you that you guys have made here, or we'll do this. And, you know, it happened on both sides. It doesn't matter.
It makes you sick, though. It really does.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sort of like you catch your father cheating on your mom, and he says, I'll never do that again. And 2 weeks later, he does it again. You know, it's sort of like that kind of trust you have in government, whatever you had before, has just been shot this week.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. And look, the poll ratings were going into this, right, about 20%. I think it's lower than people in the media here, Tim.
Yeah, I think it's almost 10% now.
Yes.
But now, if I know that Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac had a lot to do with this, you know, because they backed all these loans, even though they weren't a government agency, they sort of really were. But there was a committee that oversees both of those agencies. They have 200 employees, and that's all they're supposed to do is oversee those two agencies. And 200 people miss this, and that's their job each and every day?
Yeah, that Office of Thrift Supervision, and you've got FHA. And you know what? Let's take a look at California. We have a real estate commissioner who has been sitting here. And at one point, damn, just a few years ago, there were over 600,000 people that had a real estate license in California. People were, you know, doing this when they had a full-time job and doing something else, but they would sell real estate on the side.
Right.
And there was it was all commission motivated, and they wanted to get as many deals done as they possibly could. And look, people were making multiple offers on homes, and these brokers were getting pressure from some of these companies that have just gone out of business, like Walmart was real aggressive in getting those loans done. And why not? Because they could do it, and because the house prices were 10% higher a few months later than they were when they made the loan.
Right,
you know, you'd make money before you move into the house.
Right,
you know?
But why don't they let these banks, these big banks like Walmart, and I don't know who else,
Wachovia now.
Why don't they just let them go out of business, and they'll be, you know, swallowed by the bigger banks like Bank of America that doesn't seem to have many problems?
All right, I think that the deal is this with that paper. Let me try to explain it. Okay, let me go back to 99. We had deregulation that was put in, sponsored by Phil Gramm, a Republican, but cited the law by the Democratic president at the time, Bill Clinton. So it's got two parties that deregulated the banks. What that meant was banks could then sell you, you remember this, they could sell you stocks and mutual funds. All of a sudden you go into the bank and you have a desk over there wanting to sell you IRAs and wanting to sell you those investments. Then 2001 happened, of course, the 9/11 attacks, and Greenspan took the interest rates down to 1. I mean, we were able to get loans, and some people got in there, 3%, 2% for the first year,
right,
or a fixed loan for 4.5%. And then we had five big investment banks. Two of them are out of business, Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns. Merrill Lynch, which had to be bought, and then Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, which came to the brink of going out of business, and they're changing what they're doing now, as they're going to become banks again. They went and got the permission to be able to kick up the amount of money they loan out or leverage $40 for every $1 they had on deposit. Previously, it was only $12. So they got permission to do that. And they were making these loans. Now, back to what you just asked about Wachovia and WAMU, these were the mortgage companies writing these loans, but they were sold to places all over the world. And governments were buying them. I mean, governments, and there are cities, you know, in Europe and that are going broke because these loans have gone bad in America. So a home in L.A. in the Inland Empire is affecting the budget of some town in Slovakia. You know, I mean, that's...
Yeah, doesn't the world ever get the message or the lesson that all we do is try to screw them over?
Well,
I mean, didn't we do that with the Japanese in the late 80s with all the real estate they bought in Manhattan?
Yeah, and they, by the way, they went through a similar thing. It took them a long time to recover. We had Chinese investments now buying property in California, and look at the companies that are getting gobbled up by European countries. I mean, there are few people, except maybe a few of us, that are still working for American-owned companies. I mean, there's some kind of tentacle stretches to some far part of the globe that has an influence on our paycheck for a lot of people. So it's not, you know, it's not that simple. It's very complicated. But you know what? Nobody really sat down and explained it. I mean, you got these guys. You know, Paulson's a pretty smart guy. He ran Goldman Sachs. He never really sold this to get the person sitting watching a football game.
No, he never. Don't understand it. And I've been reading about it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And securitization of collateralized loans. Well, what the heck is that? I mean, you know, people don't even know can't even pick out some of the people in the cabinet or know who they are, much less understand this. And you've got to get somebody who, you know, simple, down to earth, to go there and sit with a blackboard to show you, okay, this is why we have to do this, and this is what we're going to do to make your money back. Because there really is, when you have, some people call it socialism, but when, and it is, when you have a government owning 80% of an AIG, I mean, there's a potential to get a real return back on that money.
Oh, yeah, I think there is. Now, in your opinion, in your tutored opinion, you've been doing this for a long time, you still think the government should put money into these banks or back into Wall Street and the economy, but how much?
Well, I think that nobody knows what that figure really is, and it's probably going to be $1 trillion or more before it's done, and nobody knows whether this is even going to do. I mean, what I'm saying is they're hopeful and they think that this is going to help, and it should. But just in the last 24 hours, Tim, a jumbo rate, a lot of people know in Southern California what a jumbo rate is because that's right. What a lot of the homes are, 7 7/8% at 3.5 points.
Wow.
And that's because of the overnight lending just froze up here. Just as we're speaking, it's still clogged up, and there's not going to be any movement until this money gets freed up.
Jesus.
But you know,
well, if you have a jumbo loan, I guess anything over, in most communities now, $729,000.
That's right.
And that's going to go away come December 31st.
Well,
it goes back to 625, I guess.
It does. They're going to be able to give you they do have these conforming jumbos now that will give you that a lower rate. But for, people who've got a $900,000 house, or $800,000 house, and that's a lot of people. This thing can really work to everybody's advantage, especially the consumer and everyday Joe, because we are going to have more oversight about this. You're not going to be hearing about these $200 million bonuses that some guy gives.
Good. Excellent.
And the company goes out of business 6 months later. He still walks away.
Now, if they do put $700, again, Bob McCormick is with us. He is on KNX every morning and afternoon with Money 101, also with Channel 9. If they put $700 billion or something close to that into back into the banks to try to buy these bad loans, will it be the will the interest rates drop and borrowing will become much easier?
Well, I'll tell you, if that doesn't happen, then we're all going to have big problems.
Yeah,
they're going to have big problems. So, by the way, yesterday that 777-point drop on the Dow, the stock market lost over $1 trillion in value. So that's it right there.
It lost the size of the economy in India.
Yeah. There's so much at stake here.
I know.
By
the way, when I was a kid, I grew up in Southern California. I grew up in the San Fernando Valley. And when you're a kid and you start, you get an argument with somebody and you say, I hate you a billion times more. Nobody even knew the term trillion back then.
Yeah. Okay.
Nobody ever used it in any aspect of life. Now it's thrown around like it's, like it's somebody's checkbook.
Yeah. 1,000 billion. Hey, the thing that's funny is for people that are in their mid-20s, I had a kid call me on Channel 9 today, 25, another one 19. I said, look, this is the best thing in the world that could happen to you because house prices are where they were when you graduated from high school. You have a chance to get into the stock market at where it was 10 years ago, because it was 10,000, back in the late 90s, and you have a chance to get on into a piece of the action where most people were priced out of it just 3-4 years ago.
Right.
And only 15-20% of the people could really afford a home in Southern California. Well, it's going to go higher than that. I mean, we're seeing these prices come down.
I hope so.
Some places 40%, and at least people are going to be able to get in that were locked out of the market, Tim.
All right, now, Bob, we got to take a break here, but I have one final question for you.
Okay.
And so far, nobody's been able to answer this, and I'm not going to put your feet to the fire and make you give me an answer here. Maybe you don't know. But I have a house that is worth $40,000 less than what I owe on it, okay, in the San Fernando Valley.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What is my incentive to buy earthquake insurance?
probably zilch.
It's zero, right?
Yeah. Because you've got that big out-of-pocket expense there at the rate of the box.
Yeah, it's 15%.
Well, I thought you were going to ask me what's my incentive to keep making the payments on it.
Well, that's next week.
I'll tell you, the economist, very respected, like a lot, used to work at the UCLA Anderson Forecast. He said, point blank, I don't think it's in the financial best interest of a lot of families to keep putting money into a declining asset.
Wow.
They're underwater.
Is that right? That
sometimes you just have to cut your losses and say, you know what, I got to move on from here.
Yeah, but how soon then afterwards can you get a loan for a
house?
Well,
it's going to be at least 4 years, 5 years. But and I'm not saying that people should do that only if they can't sleep at night, they're worried they're not, and they're stretching or they're selling stuff to make a house payment.
Right.
You know, heirlooms and whatever they can find, you know. Now, it's one thing to go out and get a part-time job, a weekend job, some extra income. It's another thing where you can wait. Tim, you can wait because you know that probably a year or two down the road, that house is going to be worth once again more than you owe on it.
Yeah, it's going to be somebody else's problem at that point.
Well, there you go. Yeah, exactly.
But seriously, no joking aside, is there any incentive for somebody to buy earthquake insurance if they owe more on the house than what's worth?
I have not considered that, but it's a very iffy question for a lot of people, because even without this big price decline, okay, we have it, because I've been through earthquakes and I haven't had major damage, but I know people who have, and you can get insurance on that particular out of pocket cash that you have to put down, which in some cases
right.
is the first $75,000 to cover that as well. Now, there are other things you may want to think about besides the earthquake insurance. I mean, is it worth it for you to do certain things to the house that you might want to do? In other words,
yeah, absolutely.
You know,
yeah, like fix the pool up or the backyard or the kitchen, whatever.
Yeah.
But my dad always told me when I was a kid, he said, the best earthquake insurance is take a third, fourth, or a fifth out on the house.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I love your dad.
Thank you very much, sir.
She's very excited I was talking to you because she's a big fan.
Is that right?
Yes, and I want to tell everybody, look, it's really getting to be a good time to buy, whether it's real estate or whether it's stock. You get a chance to get in here on the ground level, and that's when you want it, when everybody else is afraid.
Exactly. Now, Bob, do you dare to give us a stock that you like?
I don't really make stock picks, because if I do, I get burned,
right.
and that's why I don't believe that, you know, the way they get taken onto the woodshed and people get taken out like they were with Fannie Mae, Freddie
right.
Mac, AIG, you know, the
WAMU was at 2 years, a year and a half ago was at $70, now it's at 16
it's
cents.
It's a wipeout. You're better off with an index fund and starting out, you know, getting a no-load mutual fund, S&P or total stock market index. Right now, I believe the total stock market index is the best way to play it, because then if it goes down, it's not going to go down that much.
Exactly.
You've got 5,000 companies instead of one company. You know?
All right, Bob, we'd love to have you come in studio sometime. You're a very knowledgeable guy. I'm glad you're with CBS, with KNX every morning and afternoon with Money 101, and also nice to see you on Channel 9 as well.
Well, thank you, Tim. I appreciate it.
All right, you take care of yourself.
Good luck to you and everybody listening to you.
All right, and please come in sometime. We'd love
I will.
Okay.
You
all right, hold
it.
On one second. All right, Gina, yes. See if we can get this guy. This is a really smart guy that could probably make a lot of our listeners some money. And that's what it's all about now. Everybody needs, everyone's good looking for a tip or a guy that can, you know, set you straight. And this Bob McCormick, I think, is the man. All right, we ran a little late here, so we're going to run a couple of commercials, then come back. We have a huge show for you tonight. A very funny comic is coming in at 9 o'clock, Joey Medina. And then also at 10 o'clock, we have Dr. Sophie coming in. Yes, one of the great child psychiatrists of all time. And we'll set you straight and also give you a couple of tips on how to tell the kids you're broke. This is the Tim Conway Jr. Show, live on 97.1 FM Talk.
Take the long way home. 97.1 FM Talk.